It should terrify us that it is possible to know a lot of things about God and still not know God. It should cause us concern that we can know stories from the Bible, be religious people, and not know God on a saving level. Even Jesus said to the religious, John 5:39, he said, "You search the scriptures, but you don't know me, that you might have life." He was saying that to people who wore Bible verses hanging off of their heads. Or in another spot, he's talking to Nicodemus about salvation, forgiveness of sins, and being born again. And do you know what he said to Nicodemus? "You are the teacher of Israel, and you still don't know these things." So just a little question that you can ask yourself to either reassure you that you know God or cause you panic. If you answer honestly, this is a time to be honest, not pretenders. Do you know God? And the question is simple. Is God satisfying to you? Like, answer that one honestly. Do you delight in him? Like, authentically? I know you know the right answer. Oh, yes, all the time. I just think about him every day. Is he a treasure to you? Those are biblical categories. Or is he boring to you? That should cause you a red flag. Is God a chore in your mind? Like, really, is he someone that you just have to go to church to work for so you don't go to hell? I know. I fear many people in America go to church with that mindset. I do church because I have to do the God thing, so I don't go to hell. Well, in Isaiah 55, go ahead and open your Bibles there. In Isaiah 55, Isaiah is talking to religious people, pleading with them because they don't know God. These are people who have called on the name of God. They bear the name as sons of Israel. They're Hebrews, the nation of Israel, and they don't know God. So if you have your Bibles open, I'm going to break down the chapter really simple, four parts. Verses 1 and 2, he says, "You've been chasing things that don't satisfy you." Verses 3 through 6, "Turn to the Lord while there is still time." He's talking to religious people. Verses 8 through 11, "God is what you have been searching for, but you just haven't found him." And then 12 and 13, "Paradise is waiting for those who are true followers of God." So let's start in verse 1. "Is anyone thirsty? Come and drink. Even if you have no money, come, take your choice of wine or milk for people under 21. It's all free." Now he's really not talking about food, and you'll see that later. Verse 2, "Why spend your money on food that doesn't give you strength? Why pay for food that does you no good? Listen to me, and you will eat what is good, and you will enjoy the finest food." We all lie to ourselves when we keep thinking that the one thing we need is just right around the corner. Like, we deceive ourselves. If I just had this one more thing, then I'd be happy. And God is asking, why do you keep chasing things that don't satisfy? Like, really do this with me, but think about it. Whether it's a material thing that you chased, just fill in the blank. Whether it was a sinful thing that you chased, fill in the blank. Was it ever truly satisfying? Or did it leave you abandoned? If you are wise, God has spared you the experiment of trying to find that one thing. He took a guy named Solomon and he proved that there is nothing in this world that ultimately satisfies. God made Solomon, King Solomon, the smartest, wisest, wealthiest man ever. Make Elon Musk look like child's play, okay? This man had brains and he had resources. He wasn't like the NFL player that just got rich quick and then blew it all in three years. But he set out to find that one thing that could ultimately satisfy him. So he tried parties. He had parties, like the kind of parties that you wake up on someone else's chariot with a new tattoo. Like that was his parties. Okay, they were big. Wasn't there. He tried women. Oh my. 700 wives, 300 concubines. Wasn't there. He did this. He thought, you know what? I've wasted it on parties and women. Let me try work. Work is where it's at. Because then the world will look at me and see I've accomplished. Wasn't there. He thought, it's not women, it's not parties, it's not work, it's knowledge. I'm going to study so that there's going to be no subject that anybody talks about that I'm not read up on. He said, it wasn't there. He built gardens, would make the bush gardens look like child's play. Huge gardens. Get this, he traded peacocks and apes for fun. 1 Kings 10, you can read about it, but he says that's still not satisfying. So he gets to the end after trying it all and says, it's not here. It's not here. I looked. The end of the matter is fear God and live for him. So if it's not here, there's no true satisfaction here, what are we doing here? What's the point? Isaiah 55:3, look at this. Come to me with your ears wide open. There it is. Listen and you will find life. That's how I know he's not talking about food. I'm going to make an everlasting covenant with you. This is what he has to offer. A covenant was simply saying, I swear by my life to do what I'm going to say. This is God saying, I will give you the unfailing love that I promised to David. Like, what could top that? Come to me, find life, I'm your God. Skip on down to verse 6. Look at this. Seek the Lord while you can find him. Call on him while he's near. Let the wicked change their ways and banish the very thought of doing wrong. This is such a simple plea. Let them turn to the Lord that he may have mercy on them. Yes, turn to God and he will forgive you generously. Verse 6 and 7 say, you're running out of time to play with this. You don't have forever. Seek the Lord while he may be found. What a tragedy it is to have somebody think, I'm going to live for me now. And then when I'm done having my fun and I'm almost dead, that's when I will turn to God. Ha! Play the system. No. No. Why not give God the best years of your life? Why not give God the strongest years of your life if you really treasure him? He's not honored by you giving him your leftovers, the scraps. If God is truly beautiful to you, if he truly is satisfying, a treasure, you will live for him now. Because he is that glorious. Verse 8 and 9, God talks himself. Verse 8 and 9, let's read them. My thoughts, you guys know this verse, are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord. My ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. We are down here as amateur thinkers, trying to flirt with sin to find happiness. And he's saying, stop it. Don't go that way. You guys are so foolish to flirt with sin to find happiness. We take this verse out of context. I'm going to ruin this verse for you guys. but this is what it means. We think, oh, God's just so smart. He has things figured out that we don't, the impossible to understand, which is taught somewhere else in the Bible, but not here. What he's saying here, verse 7, the context is, you guys think evil. I don't think that way. I'm pure. I'm perfect. I don't have wicked thoughts. That's what he's saying. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, my ways are higher than yours. God's wisdom and ways are so far beyond what we could imagine. And that is a moral sense. Just as the heavens are higher above the earth, I will spare you a geek out on space because I love God's creation. Like, why he make this sucker so big? Well, here, I'm gonna sum it up by saying this. With our best, most advanced telescopes, we have not even been able to map the edge correctly yet. Think of that. And God says, as high as the heavens are above the earth, my ways are higher than yours. And so he simply says, listen to my words. You're down here playing with sin, trying to find happiness when I'm offering you life. Isaiah 55, 10 and 11. Let's keep going. The rain and the snow come down from the heavens, stays on the ground to water the earth. They cause grain to grow. You guys know this. You're farmers, producing seed for the farmer and bread for the hungry. Next verse. It is the same with my word. I send it out. It accomplishes, produces fruit, accomplishes all I want it to, and will prosper everywhere I send it. Just as the rain comes down from heaven and produces fruit and food, God's word does the same. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. This is terrifying, but God's word is the most powerful thing in the world. God's word offers life to those who listen to it, turn from sin, come to the fountain of truth, and it also condemns and warns and judges those who reject it. This is the last section where this is all headed for those who truly do know God. 55, 12, and 13. Look at this description. You will live in joy and peace. That's not blowing smoke. The mountains and the hills burst into song. I can't wait to see that. The trees will clap their hands. What's that going to be like? I used to think that was a nutso verse until I watched Lord of the Rings. And then the trees started moving. I'm like, I never considered the trees all of a sudden start moving. The trees clap their hands because what are they doing? They're praising the one who made them. Once where there was thorns, that cursed world is now going to grow beautiful trees. Once where there was nettles, I hate nettles. Anybody hate nettles? You guys aren't true farmers. Myrtles will grow, sprout up. These events will honor the Lord's name, and there'll be an everlasting sign to prove his power and love. These words like joy, peace, mountains burst into song. That's not forced worship. Like, I guess it's time to stand and sing. Do you guys realize that the sermon's not the best part of the service? Worship is. That's the part of the service where we sing for him. Like, oh, I didn't really like worship today. It's not about you. We're not singing to you. We're singing to him in response to who he is. Great honor be given to the Lord. So to sum this up, and what I really want to plead with you guys is you can sit in church your whole life and not know God. And I don't want that for you. Isaiah says, stop chasing things that don't satisfy you. Come and seek Christ while he can still be found. There's still time. He's far better than you can imagine. The God of the scriptures is better than the God of your imagination. And those who do will live with him forever. You can't give a better gospel than that. That's the message of Isaiah 55. Let's pray.
God, I pray that your word will accomplish all that you've set it out to. That those with ears would turn and see you for who you truly are. Would you shock our dead hearts from being satisfied with trinkets and not let us be satisfied until we get to taste and see who you truly are. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.